Two strange weirdos I met in college became quick friends, and they love to travel, so they left the country and moved to Ireland. But now they're back trying to figure out life, and they're a hot mess. The Cadawamplas.
Hello, and welcome to the Cadawamplers. That's Maggie.
That's Tavinia. And we're a mess.
Yep. So welcome, other messians. That could be a word, maybe. So for today's episode, we made some amazing, amazing friends while we were living in Ireland. And you may think, like, okay, I don't want to hear an entire episode about these friends that you made that I've never met. But don't care. You're going to hear everything about these people because they're so amazing.
Doing it so anyway.
Either go ahead and skip or just bear through it, because I promise you they're amazing human beings. If you're listening to this, you guys, which you will be, because we'll force it down your throats.
Yes, we will.
Hi.
We miss friends.
So, and we're literally going to go one by one. So don't you worry. No one's going to get skipped. So, first up is our little Carlos.
Carlos.
Our little Chonchito.
Chonchito, mi
toco. Oh, poquito Chonchito. God.
He hates it when we do that, and we do it anyway.
Yeah, I think he just kind of accepted it towards the end.
Yeah,
but
he did. He's like, whatever.
So Carlos is, well, first off, if for people who like know us personally and stuff like that, that random guy that was in a lot of our pictures that was like Brazilian looking. So that's Carlos, and that's who he is. When we first moved to Ireland, we did a bunch of surfing around for a while, and then we found a house for the summer. It was like temporary shared living, and it was a total of what, 8 individuals in one house.
Too many.
Which is too damn many. And so Carlos is one of those people. And I'll just give you a shortened version, then we'll go back and fill in the gaps. But so yeah, we met Carlos there. Then our lease ended there, and we had to find an apartment, which we did in the city center. And Carlos had to move back to Brazil, like I think maybe a few months later. And there was no point in him finding a place, and we love him so much. So he came and lived with us in our living room, and then abandoned
Adam,
us later on.
Our Irish landlord, Adam, if you're listening, we don't give a fuck that you know.
Yeah, really, though. Unless he's going to be the reference for your...
Nah, it's too late. I already didn't get that place. It's fine. I don't need him.
Yep. All right. Big middle fingers. Big middle fingers to Adam.
Yep.
So, yes. Carlos is... So, I met Carlos before Maggie did, because when we got the place, Maggie was traveling with her sister around Ireland. And so... I'm aware that there are, like, cultural differences and stuff like that. However, I just never... That's not my first thought. And so Carlos is really big. So the kitchen area has a door that was in that shared house. And Carlos cooks all the time, especially burgers.
Burgers.
he's a big meat man. So, and he loves himself some burgers. And so every time he would cook... And it's a shared house, so the kitchen has to be used by everybody. He would close the door to, like, the whole living area and kitchen, and I was like, this bitch. Like, how dare you try to shut me out of the space that I have to be in, too? And, like, when I would walk in, it seemed like he would just be annoyed that I was there, and I was like, well, fuck you, too. Like, I started getting, like, defensive, even not knowing what he's thinking. And so I was just like, what the hell? And I used to, like, call or text Maggie all the time, like, complain, like, this Carlos man, like,
she would describe him. She would always describe him as like this grumpy, like surly, basically like old man trapped in a 20-something year old's body. And so I had this like, I just thought that Carlos was going to be like the worst fucking human when I met him. And actually, it turns out that like grumpy old man trapped in a 20-year-old's body is actually Carlos, but that's like in a very good way.
So, yeah, later come to find out after, like, I spoke to the people and stuff like that at the house, because I used to just hide in my room because socializing sometimes is terrifying and alone. And finally got to know him and just realized that that's a thing, that, like, he just closes the door when he's cooking because he doesn't want the smell to, like, fill up the entire house. So it was really just a thing of consideration and not being a complete asshat. And so I I don't know if I ever later told him that I used to think that about him, but here we are. And yeah, and then someday, whatever day that was, he came to live with us, our little baby. And it was amazing, and he just like moved in and lived on our sofa, and well, no, he didn't. He lived on the little crappy air mattress, and was just always there, and like would always go to the freaking gym every day.
Always.
And
he would like walk us like to our like. So, like, going on, like, dates in Ireland, I'm one of those people who's always terrified to go on a first date, and, like, he would, like, walk us to our first dates and, like, make sure that we, like, got inside safely, and also partly that we weren't, like, gonna run away and, like, not actually go to the date. So, like, oh, he's just, like, our dad and our best friend and, like, also our grandpa all wrapped into one, plus the guy who, like, runs the sausage stand down the street. Like,
pretty much all of those things. And if you don't know what Carlos looks like, so he's a pretty, like, built man. Like I said earlier, he goes to the gym every day. And there was one time in particular. Actually, Maggie and I both had similar experiences. So, like, when we would drink or whatever, of course. We're, like, we're Ireland, living life. And so, for the people that know me, when I drink, I like to explore or go wander.
Runner.
Pretty much. And so, we were about to walk into our apartment, but there was, like, a more of, like, a staircase or whatever. And I was, like, doo-doo-doo, and, like, wandering and about to go up the stairs to go explore some other apartments. Carlos grabbed me. like how our friend would just be, like, oh, haha, no, Tavinia, come back. And, like, grabbed me in, like, the back of my shirt. And, like, to him, I bet in his mind, he gently pulled me back.
Aww.
But it felt like God himself had put his hand down, lifted me, and pulled me back. I have never been so manhandled in such a way, but like it was fine, but like I literally felt like whoop, like, and now we're off the ground, and like, and then he calmly just like set me back down and like escorted me like, yeah, that's right, escorted me back into the house or apartment. And I was like, I looked at him so differently after that day, and I was like, you could kill us, couldn't you?
Literally could. He did the same thing to me one time. It was just him and I were going to meet Tavinia at one of the bars. And I was, like, already pretty drunk, so I'd been pre-gaming in the apartment. And I, like, wandered out into the street. And, like, I don't even think there were any cars coming, but Carlos decided, like, no, we will not play in the street tonight. And, like, just snatched me out of the street. And, like, before I knew it, I was back on the sidewalk and was looking around, like, what the fuck kind of teleportation? Like, Carlos was like the protector, just literally snatching us out of harm's way.
And like, but I'm a pretty sturdy sized woman. Like, I am thick everywhere. So the fact that he was able to lift me with such ease to this day will always be like,
yeah.
I just always look at him still like,
it's just effortless. Like, you could snap our necks, man, but you're choosing not to, and that's why we love you.
Which sounds so morbid to think about, but you know what?
Yep, here we are.
We gotta be honest with ourselves. And he has a beautiful girl. Well, fiance now.
Oh, fiance! Carol!
Carol's amazing. She came to visit. She only speaks Portuguese, so that was a little difficult, but I had Carlos teach me, like, a little phrase to say to her when she came, and it was something like, essentially, hi, my name's Tavinia. I would like to be your best friend. I will love you forever. Thanks, bye. Or something random. And that is all I can say. Or something like that, ending off. And she just laughed. And I was like, oh, good. I hope I said it right. I don't even know. But she is amazing and so sweet. And she came to visit because they went on like a European tour, essentially. And then she came back to Ireland too, and he had proposed, and oh god, it was so cute.
He proposed in Paris, and like, ugh.
Baby angel.
Our little guy.
Yeah. So that's our Carlito Chanchito. And this is also really helpful. I mean, y'all could all be hating life right now, or you could have skipped this all already. That's fine. But this is going to be helpful for you. When we mention these people, you're going to be like, who the hell is that? Here you go. We're doing it for you now. So. Yeah. And I guarantee Carlos will be mentioned a lot.
Yeah, Carlos comes up a lot.
A lot. And just daily life. And I bring him up to my work people, and they're just okay. So
whenever I go on, like, like a first date with somebody, the two things that I start out with, like even before we start talking about absolutely anything, is like, okay, so I have this friend, her name is Tavinia. She might as well be my wife. I'm going to talk about her like we're married, so get used to that. And also Carlos, like I'm going to talk about Carlos as if we are married, but it's not like a weird thing. It's just, that's my little Carlito chon-chon. And if that's where a guy gets freaked out, then that's how I know it's not meant to be, because those are my people.
In the words of the Spice Girls, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
That's exactly right. If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my wife and my chonchito.
Yeah. And Raphael and Anderson.
And everyone else.
Talk about you. But I feel like we should stick to the guys that were in the house and how they came and then go back to everybody else. Okay. So next, maybe Owen. So
Owen. Hi, Owen. I hope you're listening. Owen, you are listening because we're going to force you to listen.
Gabe, so I had a good first impression with Owen, and his first impression with Maggie was the fucking worst. So these people all lived in this house as well. And Owen lived on the second floor, third floor?
Second floor.
James lived on the third floor. Okay. Yeah, lived on the second floor. And Owen is a student at UCC, which is the college that Maggie also worked at. And he was in his graduate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he would typically be gone either for class stuff or at work. He worked at a really cool pub called something Monkey.
Brass Monkey.
And then that closed, which is sad. But anyways, so Owen is like, he is a zero fucks kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, he says what's on his mind, doesn't care if it's going to offend somebody, but at the same time is really funny. So,
but also, like, he keeps it, like, he doesn't give a fuck if he's going to offend you, but he's also, like, super sweet. Like, he was going to come rescue me one night at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning when I was, like, way drunk and on the other side of town and didn't know where I was. He was literally going to, like, come find me because I panicked and called Owen because I didn't know what to do. So, like, he gives no fucks if he hurts your feelings, but also is like a hero without a cape.
Yep. And like while we were packing up our stuff too, he was like, I can come help him pack. And I'm like,
yeah,
like a fun time, but all right. So yeah, just a genuine human being. But the first time I met him, he was like on his way out and I was like, oh, hey, cool. Nice to meet you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And like I said, I kind of just hid in my room the entire time until Maggie showed up. So I didn't really get to know anybody too well before then. And I was like, yeah, this Owen dude, you know, like Maggie came, I was like, okay, this Owen dude, he's pretty cool, like pretty chill. here, I'm going to introduce you. And so he came downstairs to do, I think he was going into the bathroom. And because the one upstairs was, I don't know if he was going to take a shower or he was just, I don't know, something happened. And the precious little painting man. We were having the inside of the house painted. This cute little man that came every single day. Oh god, he was precious. Anyways, he was painting the walls and stuff like that, and he would let us know, like, hey, this wall is wet, don't touch it. And I think he even put signs up some places or whatever. But I guess Owen had like scooched into the wall with a wet
yeah, like he was wearing a black t-shirt and kind of like brushed up against one of the wet walls.
Yeah. And like literally, I'm just saying, hey, Owen, this is Maggie. And that happened. And he goes, well, what did he scream like?
He, like, so I'm standing there, like, Tavinia's, like, trying to make the introduction. So I'm sticking my hand out, getting ready to, like, shake hands, be like, hi, Maggie, nice to meet you. And he literally was like, for fuck's sake, and started, like, just, like, Hulk smash that he had just ruined his t-shirt because he was, like, on his way to work and was, like, running late or something. And then just left. Like, he didn't even shake my hand or, like, tell me his name. Like, I was literally, it looked like it was out of a movie. I was just standing there with my hand out, like, so no? Okay.
And he's, like, that shade of white person that if you get really excited or angry, red is all over his face. So, like, when he slapped that wall, he was instantly, like, a little fireball. Yep. And, like, left. And I was like, oh, God, well, here we go. So that's good. That's good.
And also, so Owen is spelled the Irish spelling, which is E-O-I-N. So if you don't, like, know anything about the Irish language, it, like, you would maybe think that it's Ian. And so, and Owen knows this. This is not like a surprise. Tavinia couldn't remember if his name was Owen or Ian. And so this moment of like me introducing myself was crucial for us to know what his name was. And then he left and we still didn't know. So I think we had to like ask Carlos or something because neither of us knew his name.
Yep.
It's just this angry little red man who just like stormed out of the house. And I was like, okay.
And so now we got to go ask this fucking mean old man in the kitchen who closes the door on us. Like, oh, good. Our options are going really well here.
Yep.
But
Owen's our dude. He's going to come visit us in the summer, right, Owen?
Yeah. Everyone that has heard it threat. Now. Yeah. All five people have heard us say it. So you kind
of
have.
All two of our listeners.
Hi, Mom. So Gemma is a. Honestly, I just feel like she might be like a goddess who we are not worthy of. Because, so, okay, actually, let's go back. So, like we said, Carlos is Brazilian, Owen is Irish, and Gemma is
Italian.
Why did I just forget that quickly? Italian, there we go. So it was a very diverse household. And then Veronica was Venezuelan, correct?
Bolivian.
Wow. Right. Yep. Way off. Anyways, so Gemma is precious. She's a tiny little petite thing who is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And is so sweet and so nice. And she would always invite us to things. And like, I don't know how Gemma knew so many people. She was just really good at socializing.
Yeah.
But she knew so many people. There was one night that we all, like, the house decided to go out and Gemma didn't come with us. And then she was like, come back home. There's a party going here. We come back home. There's like 15 people and also the neighbors. Like she just befriended the neighbors as well. And they're all just hanging out in the backyard. I'm like, how, Gemma, how did this work? And she's just precious and cute. And she's a little baby. And we threw her a birthday party one day.
No, her going away party.
I thought it was her birthday.
Are you talking about the cake?
This is why there's two of us. So, there was an event held for her, and Maggie and I decided to bake her a cake, and,
Yeah, it was going away, because the cake said, we will miss you, Gemma.
Oh, okay.
Well, and then that's why she was crying.
Was her card? Did we get her a card?
I think we got her, like, a going away card, too.
Oh. That was nice of us. So, I'm sorry, So, yeah, we baked her a cake, because, I mean, that's just, like, something nice you would do. And we brought it out to her, and she, no joke, started crying.
And was Which just then like, makes me cry, because I'm, like, a social crier. But, like, precious.
And she was just like, I did not expect this. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I expect nothing.
Oh, God.
Of course you should have expected this. We love you.
And, like, at this point, like, we had gotten to know her really well and, like, weren't still just hiding in our rooms or whatever. But, like, it was, she's just so cute. And we still follow her on social media. And every single fucking photo she puts up is, like,
goddess.
That's really, though. Like, we are just not worthy of her. Don't worry. We'll share pictures of all these people on our social media so you know what they look like. But, yeah. And then that leaves James.
Oh, Veronica.
Oh, Veronica, I'm sorry. So, Veronica, and, I mean, let's be honest here. So, Veronica's very, very sweet. She's a very quiet person. She lived in the house, too. And she was there for school to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually why Carlos was there, too, and Gemma. Didn't she show up to learn English and Gemma? And Veronica was very, very sweet. There was actually, we had a plan when we were moving out, like maybe she could just, we could all three live together or whatever, but it kind of fell through.
Veronica also is like a trained chef and is like an extremely talented cook. So I think she was maybe considering moving to France to go to like culinary school. So she's just like one of those people who's like a jack of all trades and is just like the sweetest freaking person you'd ever meet.
Yeah.
But she moved out after, so like Tavinia said, we were only in the shared house for what, like 2 or 3 months. And then Veronica got her own place and that was kind of We'd see her around town occasionally, but she had her own social circle. So then there was James. James is also Irish, and lived in our shared house. He is a... So in Ireland, they... You know, we call everybody lawyers. They call them solicitors, which for the longest time was so very confusing because solicitor in the States is a very negative connotation. Like, it's the person who shows up to your door trying to sell you Bibles or whatever. So when he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a trainee solicitor, we're both like, so what? Like, you selling vacuums? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
So he's a lawyer. He's a, like, training to be a lawyer. And yeah, so he moved in last, like, a few weeks after everyone else, and was the kind of guy who, like, me and Tavinia were both downstairs. Tavinia's bedroom was right by the front door, and so we were hanging out in there, and I think maybe the door was, like, cracked, but it certainly wasn't open. And then all of a sudden, like, James is in the room in his little in his little black leather jacket, and we're like, hi. And he was like, hi, I'm James. And, like, just, he's just a very, like, go-getter kind of guy, and just, like, burst right in and was like, what's your number? Like, I'd like to have your number in case something goes wrong and I need to get in touch with you. And, like, we're like, okay. But then he ended up, like, being a pretty snazzy guy, and he would come out with us all the time. And he helped us move because he's, like, our only friend who has a car. So he helped us move all of our crap across town and would, like, take us on road trips and take us to the grocery store occasionally. So
I mean, if we're going to be honest, it was probably because of James that we even, like, all, that first night we went out as a house, it was, yeah, like, his idea.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that if that hadn't happened, I mean, hopefully at some point it would have happened, but he was kind of the one that was like, why does no one do anything together? Can we do, yeah, some stuff together? Or...
yeah, he was definitely like, what the fuck? Like, we're all the same age and we're all living in this house. Like, why are we not hanging out?
Yeah.
So he, like, planned. And actually, Gemma didn't come that night, right? It was just us and the boys.
No, that was the night then she was like, come back home, the party's here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that night James had planned for, like, all of us to go out. So we'd gone to, like, the local brewery and stuff, and we were all hanging out, and then went back and hung out with, like, Gemma and her friends. But that was all James. We owe it to James that we made such great friends in the house, because otherwise we would have just hermited in Tavinia's room until we moved out, and that would have been that.
Which, honestly, that room was amazing, and it was prime space to do some people watching.
Dude, sometimes I kind of miss that house. Like, that. So that house, there were, how many of us does that make? Me, you, Carlos, James, Owen, Gemma. So seven of us. There are seven of us in the house. Seven strangers picked to live in a house. We were actually the real world. You don't watch the real world?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. That's, like, their opening thing is, like, seven strangers picked to live in a house.
Oh.
What happens when...
Why didn't we think of this when we were there?
I don't know. I'm kind of sad that that's a totally missed opportunity. Because they say something about what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
Oh, my.
That was literally us. Except not, because we're nice people. Where was I going with this? Well, that's true. Oh, so, yeah, sometimes I kind of miss this house. So there were seven of us living in this house. One kitchen, one tiny fridge, and then... one working bathroom that had a shower. So there were two bathrooms in the house, and each of them had, like, a toilet and a shower, but the shower upstairs was only cold water. And I mean, like, ice cold water. The only shower that had hot water was downstairs. So there were seven of us literally sharing one shower, and it was kind of a dumpy little house, but sometimes I would just really miss it. I miss, like, the camaraderie of being there, and it was just awesome.
Yes, I missed the spirit of it, but the actual day to day was a lot. That's a lot.
Because I also had the room that people lovingly referred to as the box, because it's, like, off by itself. Like, the only shared wall with the house was, like, my shared wall that, like, my bedroom door was on, and then my floor was, like, the ceiling of the bathroom underneath me. But, like, I had my own roof, and then, like, my other three walls were exposed to the outside. So it would get so fucking hot, so hot, because there was no AC in the house. It would get so, so hot because the sun was, like, beating down on my roof. So I was always downstairs in Tavinia's room, and I only had a twin-size bed, and, like, this room was tiny. Like, a twin-size bed is the only one that would fit in there. So yeah, that was not ideal, but I also kind of miss, like, sleeping in my tiny little box of a room.
Your little Harry Potter room.
Yeah, it was like Harry Potter, except I was above the stairs instead of under them.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, no, it's like, it's my living hell to live with more than one person and there only be one bathroom available. That terrifies me because I have a, my body works in interesting ways. Sherry's a bitch. That's the name of my body. And she likes to do unpredictable things at the worst possible times. And it's just my living fear that the other person in that one bathroom is going to need it at the same time. And my body has no, like, yellow light. It's go, like, right now. And so that always scares me. And that the fact that, I mean, yeah, the bathroom upstairs worked, but one, the light didn't work in there. So if it was at nighttime, it's like you're sitting in pitch. So oftentimes, most people just chose to go to the bathroom downstairs.
Yeah.
And there are seven people in this house.
Yep.
With that one bathroom.
Not ideal.
I think that I have never been more tested. Like, I don't know what other test God could throw at me that's going to terrify. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm knocking some wood.
Yeah, easy.
Hold up, God. Hold up. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
That was God's easy. Upstairs like, bitch, what?
Oh, let me throw this at you right now. Like, crafting it. I don't know why I just thought of God as like a wizard, like with some like powerball to throw at me. Anyways, yeah, no, that was just I miss the people. I do miss the people and like stuff like that, because in a way it felt like college, but in college you all have your own bathrooms, so
sometimes
there's that. Sometimes that's true. But yeah, so then that brings us back up to, so Carlos, I think everybody else, honestly, besides us, was really good at socializing. And so Carlos, well, no, that's not fair. I feel like he got all his friends from English school. So he had a bunch of friends that were also from Brazil that were going to school there to learn English. And one day he invited them all over because Carlos just wanted to have, like, a little party. And we fucking loved all of those guys. And so we decided that they're our friends now, too. And, like, Carlos doesn't have to be there if he doesn't want to. Like,
no. This These doesn't are our concern friends. You, Carlos. These are our friends.
If you want to show up, that's cool, but you really don't have to. So there was quite a few of them, but our staples were Raphael, Anderson, Victor, Julio, Remy, and Luca.
Yeah.
So everyone except for Remy and Luca were Brazilian. Remy is French, and Luca is Italian. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Oops, that one right. So, yeah. So, and like, I think Carlos had lived with Luca previously, so that's how he knew him. And Remy, I actually don't know how they know each other.
Remy, so Remy used to go to like meetups in Cork, like the app meetup. So he went to a meetup and met Victor. So Remy is like Victor's friend. And then Victor brought him to our house that one night. And then it was just like, all right, you're in. Like, you're our friend now.
I didn't know that meetup existed in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, Remy used to go, like, every week. That's how Remy had such a big social circle, was from Meetup.
Wow.
Yep.
Man, if I could... Okay, well, that's good to know.
We sucked at socializing, basically.
Yeah, we did. But anyway, so those are the guys, and...
our boys. Yeah,
like, that's who we call our boys. Like, when we went to... Oh, my God, what's wrong with my memory? Where the hell did we go for your birthday? No. Poland. We went to Poland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He brought them all back gifts and stuff like that. And just, they're our angels. And so, Raphael. Oh, God.
No, Raphael. Hi, Raphael.
He is just a precious little... They're all precious angels. So, that's going to be described for every single one of them. But Raphael is the kind of person that, like, you meet him. And, like, to this day, he still randomly texts us or, like, messages us on something. And it's just like, hi, girls. But individually at the same time. So, like, he's very thoughtful about it. So, yeah, I mean, it's no matter what, we would love to hear from any of the guys. But, like, he will message us individually and, like, want to know how things are going and stuff like that. And, like, tell you about how things are going with him. Like, he definitely wants to try to keep up the friendship, which is so precious.
Raphael is the friend who, we're recording this in early November. My birthday was just 2 days ago. And so when I had my birthday in Ireland, Tavinia had to work all day. So I was like by myself in the apartment. And Raphael came by with a little cake and a candle for me. Like, he's just like that kind of friend. And then like this year on my birthday, obviously none of us are in Ireland. Raphael's back in Brazil now. Sent me just like the sweetest message on Facebook with like a picture of a birthday cake that said like, happy birthday, my sweet Maggie. Like, I'm sorry that I can't get you a cake this year, but like the intention is good. And like, I miss you. And I hope that you can come see me in Brazil soon. When I tell you that, like, I was simultaneously like a puddle on the floor and then also crying, like, he is just the sweetest, most thoughtful person ever. And was always down to go out. Even if he had to work, like, he would come. So he used to work, like, overnight shifts. He would, like, come hang out with us until he had to leave to go to work. And then, like, would still feel bad when he had to leave.
My sweet angel.
Yeah.
But he was also ornery at times. And, like,
yeah,
just a little crazy guy. Like, he would just do something wild. And I'm like,
please tell the story of him kicking what's-his-face out of our apartment.
Oh, God. Oh no.
Yes.
You might have to tell it because I don't think I can fully remember it.
Okay, let's see. It was my birthday. This is the night that we went out. Okay. So I wanted to go out for my birthday. And this is partly, boys, if you're listening, I still got some beef with some of you from this. But so it was my birthday, and we would always pregame at the apartment that we like moved into after we moved out of the shared house. So all the boys were over, we were pregaming, cool. I wanted to go out to this pub that is literally right in front of our apartment called Reardon's. And, like, Reardon's is the place you go to, like, be sloppy. Like, if you want to be sloppy drunk and, like, dance around like a fool, Reardon's is the place to go. Which, that's always what me and Tavinia are trying to do.
When Philians, this is also equivalent to Hot Shots.
Yes. Or, do we say it? Galway's or Galway's? Were you a student at Southwestern when Galway's was still a thing?
Maybe. That's okay, so, the one that has like three different names, right? Like they changed so often.
Yeah, yeah, it kept like changing hands. So it's the equivalent of like Galway's, whatever we called it. And yeah. So you go there to get sloppy drunk and be a fool. So that's what I wanted to do for my birthday. So we roll up to Reardon's like six or seven people deep. So Remy, let's pause for a small tidbit about Remy. Remy's the French one. Remy is like the ultimate wingman. Like he just wants everyone to like partner up and like make out basically. And so because it was my birthday, Remy was like, my birthday present to you is going to be a man. And I was like, okay. So Remy invites this friend along. I'm not going to say his name just because that's rude.
I don't even remember his name.
I don't either. So
there we go.
Also Remy brings this friend along. And was, like, kind of, like, nudging me, like, hey, Maggie, like, this is your present. But he had also brought a couple of other friends that I thought were way cuter. And so I was trying to, like, get with one of them. And Remy's trying to, like, push this one guy onto me. And I think he was telling this guy, like, oh, it's her birthday and she's desperate. Which, like, like, I appreciate you, Remy. I appreciate the effort. But, like, damn, calm down. Like, don't, like, yes, but chill. Like, you don't have to tell people that. So he's trying to, like, push this guy into me, whatever. We show up to Reardon's, and there's a €5 cover charge. God bless the boys, but none of them wanted to pay to get in. And I was the first one through the door, so I pay my thing. And I'm already, like, halfway to the dance floor, like dancing by myself. Like, and I turn around, and there's nobody behind me. And I'm like, okay. So I walk back to the door, and I'm like, no, boys, like, give me, like, five. I'm already drunk. So I'm like, give me, like, 5 minutes. I'll run to the ATM. I'll get out cash for everyone. I'm like, I'll pay for everybody to get in. Like, I don't care. I just want everybody to be together. Most of them had already left by this point. Like, they saw that we were going into Reardon's, and they knew that they had to pay. So they just jumped ship. So they all leave, whatever. So then I'm, like, sad and, like, starting to tear up because I'm drunk and irrational. So we just left and went back to the apartment. So at this point, it's like me, Tavinia, Raphael, Remy. No, Remy was gone. And so it's just me, Tavinia, and Raphael, and this guy that Remy is trying to like push on to me. Everyone else is
left. Coming back to me a little bit. Yep.
Yep. So we get back to the apartment, and I think I literally went straight to my room to like take off my makeup and take off my outfit and like wallow in my misery, basically. But this guy, like, thought that we were going to hook up. And so he was, like, sticking around. And so Raphael was going to stay with us that night because our apartment was right in the city center. And most of the boys lived outside of the city center. So they would crash with us when we went out at night. And this is where I wasn't there for that. So, Tavinia, do you want to take over from here? Do you remember
I'm
enough?
I'm trying to, like, okay. I think it was something like, Raphael was ready for bed. And, like, the rest, I mean, the rest of us kind of were, too, but that guy wasn't leaving. And so Raphael's, like, laying on the sofa and was just like, time for bed or something like that.
I think you said that it was, like, super passive-aggressive but also extremely forward of, like, okay, well, good night. Like,
yeah, it's bedtime or something like that. And he just, like, made a big show of getting ready for bed and, like, kept looking at the guy, like, some serious side-eye, like, all right, bitch, it's time to go. Like, you ain't staying here tonight. I don't know who the fuck you think you hanging out with because we're all going to bed now.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the guy finally picked up on it, was like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess I should go. And I think Raphael, like, tried to walk him out to the door, too. Like,
he probably did.
Okay, goodbye. And then, yeah, it was so passive-aggressive and so freaking hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. That he
made it known that, no.
Oh, these are my girls, and yeah, you're gonna leave now. Like,
yep. So, it was, oh my gosh, it was so funny. But,
well, that's little Raphael.
Little Raphael. Or his little video on your GoPro.
Oh my god. Okay, so I have, we have to, like, move on and talk about other people in a second. I know. But, okay. Raphael, so I have a GoPro, and if you say, like, it has voice commands. So if you say, like, GoPro, take a photo, or GoPro, start a time lapse, or whatever, it'll do that. So Raphael knew that. And I guess I'd, like, left my GoPro out on the table one day. And, like, neither Tavinia nor I was home. Raphael was there hanging out with Carlos. And a few days later, I find this video on my GoPro, and it's Raphael. I don't think he even knows I have it. And he had, like, push the record button on my GoPro, but then was also trying to, so it's recording, but he didn't know that, and he was also trying to, like, do one of the voice commands, but he kept saying it wrong. Plus, with his, like, Brazilian accent, I don't think the GoPro would have understood him anyway. So the video is, like, this, like, horribly unflattering angle, because he's, like, holding it, like, you know, because he doesn't know it's recording. So it's, like, this upside down blurry picture of Raphael, and then you can hear him in the background going, GoPro, take a photo. GoPro, take a photo. Like, but that's not the right command, so it wasn't doing anything. Oh, it's just, like, the cutest.
But then I think he did switch it up and was saying picture. Like,
I GoPro, don't know.
Take a picture.
GoPro, oh, yeah, that's what it was. You know, you're right, because GoPro, take a photo is the right command. So he was saying, GoPro, take a picture. GoPro, take a picture.
And then he would just make weird faces at it and, like.
Yeah. Oh, it was the cutest little thing. I love that video.
It's, yeah.
Precious.
If he won't be, like, upset, I feel like we should share it for everyone to enjoy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay,
Anderson.
Anderson, yes. Okay, so Anderson, too, is from Brazil. And he is just, oh, gosh, once again, a sweet angel. And, I mean, he was just, like, a very, very sweet guy who would come and hang out with us, too, and all the boys would come and, like, was just always so appreciative of it. But all of them were super appreciative of everything, well, minus Carlos, but Carlos is, like, on his own level. But all the boys would always just be, like, thank you, or no, like, just, like, the smallest thing you could do for them was just, like, the grandest gesture. And so
they would, like, ask, like, what they could bring every weekend when we would, like, pregame, and we're, like, Dude, nothing. Like, so they bring pizzas and they, like, feed everybody. And I'm like, dude, we're just pre-gaming. Like, but they're so sweet and they're always just thinking about other people. So they would do it anyway. Yeah. And Anderson was, like, king of the pack for that.
He's super cute. There's, like, one, like, thing in particular that I can think of was when you were playing your ukulele.
Oh my God.
And he asked you to play a certain song and then yes. He would sing to it.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm going to cry. Oh my God, it was so sweet. So Anderson was the one who, I can't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I sing and I play the ukulele, but I am extremely shy. Like, I can record a video of myself doing it and post it on Facebook, fine, no problem, because there's nobody, like, watching me do it. But to get out my ukulele and, like, play and sing in front of someone live, no, like, I won't. And Anderson, literally every time he would come over, would go find my ukulele and bring it to me and be like, please, please. And, like, I would always say no. So when Anderson was it was like his last time that we were going to see him. And so all the boys were over and we were having like a going away party. And he went and got out my ukulele and was like, please. And I was like, oh God, like I can't say no because he's leaving. So I was like playing and singing. And he was sitting like cross-legged on the floor next to me and was like scrolling on my screen for me so that I could still read the chords and the lyrics and then like singing along. And oh, fucking cute.
It's a very cute moment.
And he's one of those people who he's very, very quiet. But if you like would get him alone, so like most of the boys are like cigarette smokers, so they would, we had a little balcony in our apartment, so they would go out to smoke on the balcony. And he was one of those people that like if you would go out there with him on the balcony while he's smoking, you could have like an absolute heart to heart with him. And he is just like the most amazing person ever when you like when he starts opening up.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have a side note story. So I'm stupidly on my phone and I just saw some pictures. So this morning there was, so they do hot air balloons or here, you know, or whatever. God. And oh my God. So the hot air balloon. Oh God. I had to stop at the Walgreens across the street from work because I had to pick up a birthday card for one of our new coworkers. And, I'm like about to check out and the woman who's like the cash register woman, she was like, oh wow, look at the balloon. Like not super excited, but like, you know, whatever. And I turn around and I see it. It's almost pretty much in the parking lot. Like,
oh my God.
Cause it was starting to fall down, I guess. Like they didn't have enough for what, well, I don't know how hot air balloons work, but like something was going wrong and it was falling down. I lost my shit. And the woman was kind of like, okay, calm down. Like I was like, Oh God, look at it. Look at it. And like, yep. And so, they couldn't even like get back up. So they continued on and almost hit like some actually power lines. That's and funny. They ended up like parking in my job's parking lot. And I, no joke, almost quit my job and was just like, I'm going to live my life out on this balloon and see where that takes me.
Oh my God. But
I'm sorry. I got really excited. I'm very into hot air balloons. It's my dream to get in one someday. And it was a good moment.
Which I did realize this whole time I've been kind of like, not rolling my eyes when you say it, but I'm just kind of like, okay, like little like pat on the back, like sure, sweetie, whatever. I realized riding a hot air balloon is on my bucket list. So
well, looky there.
So, yeah, I take it back. I take back all my condescending comments.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I was very excited, and I took pictures of it and posted it on my everywhere, really, and was very excited and saw it on my phone. Okay, sorry. So
I think we kind of wrapped up, Anderson.
Okay.
Essence.
I feel like we should go and come back to Mr. Let's go to Julio.
Okay.
So
Julio
is, which a lot of people, because the way it's pronounced, like it's spelled, you would think it's pronounced Julio. But it's Julio. And so Julio is half Brazilian, half Asian. I don't know what the Asian part is, but
no, Victor is Japanese. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is he Japanese?
Either. Maybe.
I don't know. We're gonna accidentally be racist if we try to guess. So
So yeah, that's Julio. And he's actually still living in Ireland. He got a job in
Killarney?
Yeah, Killarney. And lives there and is like living the jewel, our dream, living our dream. And him too. He's like one of those guys. So like there would be a lot of times when all the boys would ditch us for something else, and Julio would still be the one that's there hanging out. Well, usually Raphael too, but like Julio's the one who's still there and is just like, all right. And like he kind of just like nurses his beer and like hangs out and like he might get into it and dance a little bit. Actually, there was one time that he blew our minds because he was just fucking getting it with the dancing, but he just kind of like that chill, quiet soul that's there, and like he's just content. He's like a pretty content guy. And actually towards the end met two of his friends who I now still have on Facebook and other places because they're amazing, and I hate that I met them at the last second. But I think it was for his birthday. Actually, he came back into town.
Oh yeah.
And we went out and had dinner and drinks, and his friends were really, really cool. But yeah, he's just like a...
Julio's a ride or die kind of person. Like, once he's your friend forever. Like,
yep.
He's just, yeah, he's great.
Which then brings us next to Remy. So, I think you should, because y'all, like, and for the longest time, you were both working on the same campus and everything, too.
Like... Yeah. Me and Remy got really close really quickly. So, like I said, Remy showed up, just literally showed up one night because Victor brought him along to our house. And I ended up sitting outside. And I remember exactly, like, we were sitting outside. We were, like, both of us were, like, perched on a windowsill of the shared house. This was before we moved out. And we were talking about, like, rental prices and, like, how they compare here to the States, to France, and just, like, some, like, fucking adult shit, man. Like, it was, like, an intense conversation for, like, a first meeting. And we got to start talking about, like, economics and politics and just, like, all that good stuff. So, yeah. I don't know if this is going to make it sound like I'm, like, shitting on all the other boys, but I'll say it anyway. Remy speaks really, really good English, like, fluent English, whereas, like, some of the other boys were, I mean, they were there to learn English, so they were still learning, and Remy moved to Ireland to get a job versus to learn English. Yeah, I'm going to take that part out, because that does sound douchey.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
So me and Remy got really close really quickly, and then he got a job on the UCC campus as well. So I was working at UCC as an office administrator, and he was working in the Starbucks as a barista. Actually, it was the Starbucks in my building. So me and Remy would, like, spend our lunch breaks together and, like, our coffee breaks together and stuff. And so me and him got really close really quickly. And so, like I said, he was, like, my wingman and my kind of, like, sounding board. Like, I'd always go to him for advice and all that good stuff. So, and we still talk every once in a while. That's my dude. He'd come over and just, like, chill and watch me eat dinner. And I was rude and wouldn't offer him any.
We're too poor for sharing.
Yeah, exactly. Prison rules.
So, prison rules. Sometimes when we say things like that, I think of, like, prison rules. Like,
instead of prison Yay, rules. Prison!
Yay, it's the best. Like a backwards Z. But yeah. And then there's Luca. So Luca used to live with Carlos. Luca's Italian. Carlos had been there for how many months before we got there?
I think he'd been there since what, like February or March?
Yeah, so March, April, May. Okay. We'll say like 2 or 3 months that they had lived together before Carlos and us then lived together, whatever. Ouch. And so that's how he just came over one time because Carlos was like, oh, I'm going to invite my friend. That I used to live with to come to, and we're like, okay, cool. So he came over that first time that we met all the boys too, and he's a squirrely little guy. I don't know how to.
I feel like that is so accurate. He is a squirrely little guy.
Yeah,
like he's really tiny. Like I think he's maybe not even as tall as me, and like I'm only 5'5". It's like he's just a tiny little petite dude, and like I don't know.
Really characteristics as well.
Yeah. Like, oh God. Okay, I'm gonna have to cut some of this out. But
no, none of it. All of it.
Yeah, Luca is like me, an overthinker, and genuinely just wants to be everyone's friend, but sometimes goes about it in the wrong way. I guess.
He's also the youngest of the group. How old is he? Because I remember I got into that fight
thinking he
was older than he actually was.
He's just now 21, right? Or is he 22?
I think he might be 21.
Yeah, he might be 22 by now. Well, no, he turned 21. That was our joint party of Anderson leaving was also Luca's 21st birthday party.
Yes.
Because we'd gotten turned away. So Luca told us that he was 21. And they're not that many places in Ireland where you have to be 21 because the drinking age is 18. So a lot of well, that's not true either. I was going to say a lot of places are 18 and up because of that, but that's not entirely true. But anyway, we were trying to go to this one place called Brick Lane, which is another like fun place to go dance. And all of us had like gotten in and then we turn around and Luca is being stopped by the bouncer because he lied and told us he was 21, but he was only 20. And the bouncer wasn't going to let him in. So, like, we all had to leave because Luca was... I mean, we didn't have to, but we're not dicks. So, we weren't just going to leave our friend out there. So, we all had to go somewhere else.
But let's back up on that story. Because, so, he hadn't told us yet. And so, I went outside. And I was prepare to fight the bouncer because I was like, nah, bitch, he's 21. Like, literally going the distance, which has taught me a lot of things since then. I think about that incident a lot where there's always two sides to every story. But was prepared to go toe-to-toe with this big man and, like, knowing I would lose. But and then, like, he happened to pull me to the side. Luca finally did after I just made an ass of myself and was like, no, no, I'm not actually 21. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool. That would have been
all right, everybody, good to let's know. Go. Like, let's roll out.
So,
but Luca is, I'd say once again, I'm probably better friends with Luca than Tavinia is, but Luca and Remy and I then kind of like towards the end. So a lot of these boys left by like November or so to go back to Brazil because their course was up or, you know, for whatever reason. So really there towards the end, Tavinia had her own work friends and then I would hang out with Remy and Luca. So Luca's my little dude too. Like he's the kind of person who like checks in on you every once in a while just to like see how it's going. I think he's moved back to, Italy since then. He's not in Ireland anymore, so but yeah, so let's loop back up to Victor.
I'm gonna say my piece first and then you.
Yeah,
so Victor is like, and I hope this doesn't offend him because I myself would say I'm the same person. Victor, I feel like, is kind of like a lonely boy. He's very, very fun, like a very fun individual, and very sweet, just like all the rest of the boys. But there would just be times that he would, like, I don't know, get lost in his own world, and you kind of wonder what he's thinking. And him and I could, like, I love all the boys, I love all my boys, but, like, I think me and him and me and Carlos had the best, well, and Rafael, had the best relationships, because I could, like, I could identify with some of the things that, like, when he would space out, we would have some great conversation, like, deep conversations, like, out on the balcony or something like that, or, like, while he's smoking, and I'm just there watching him smoke, and, yeah, like, we would just be, I don't know, we could have a decent conversation about things, and, I really appreciate that about him, but, yeah, he's a really good, so that's my perspective. That's my relationship mm-hmm. I had with Victor. And then from there.
Okay, so I've talked about the broken engagement before, and it will come up a lot. So if you would like want to make a drinking game out of it, go ahead and take a shot now.
Shot.
Shots for everyone. Victor is extremely handsome and extremely charismatic, and he's funny, and like he's kind of a wild child. And he was kind of the boy that just happened to be in front of me when Lorenzo and I broke up. And so, like, things were over. I, by no means, there was no overlap at all. But I think it was literally, like, 1 or 2 weeks after the breakup. And we were all out and, like, we were all drunk. And, like, I was just like, God, he's just so hot. And then next thing I know, Victor is, like, grabbing my hand and like pulling me off to the side, and here we are making out in the pub in front of everyone, and I, like, my brain was like, oh, like the heavens are singing, like, oh my god, like this is me, like look at my rebound, oh shit, he's so hot, like and then we kind of had like a, it wasn't a relationship by any means, just sort of like an agreement that the boys would come over, Victor and I would pretend like nothing was going on, and then we would both get drunk and like make out all night, and then he would go home and I would go home, and like that was that. And then that probably went on for, I don't know, a month or 6 weeks maybe, and then it just kind of fizzled out. Yes, you can read between the lines as you see fit, but things just fizzled out, and I wouldn't say things were awkward between me and him after that, but there was certainly some, like, discomfort there. But I still, like, I mean, I've said this about all of them, but, like, that's my dude. Like, I still have so much love in my heart for him and appreciate him for, like, being there at that time of my life, even though he didn't know that and I'm sure didn't see it that way. But it was just a very pivotal, like, time in my life, and he was there for that, and so, yeah, I will always hold a huge soft spot in my heart for Victor, but, yeah, he's also a total wild child.
Yeah.
He's a crazy man.
having a staring contest with this cat. I won.
Okay, good.
Yeah, definitely a wild child. Yeah. Then that leaves Jer and Dave.
Jer and Dave, rounding it out strong. So Jer and Dave were both my coworkers in Ireland. Jer was, he's probably in his late 30s, and sat at the desk next to me. So, like, literally he and I were the only two in the office. And, yeah, so he's my coworker. And at first, like, we were just coworkers, and, you know, like, I would tell him about my life and whatever. And, like, so Jer is the one who... Obviously, when you spend like 8 hours a day in the same office with someone, like, we chatted all the time. And I think it was probably like a month or so after the breakup, I casually mentioned something. So obviously before, I'd been talking about my fiance, and then I just kind of stopped talking about him. And then a few weeks later, I was like, Jer asked about him, and I said, oh no, we broke up. And he was like, what? You didn't say anything about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess not. So that, like, he's just that kind of guy who, like, he just genuinely cares about you. And he, got a promotion one day, and he was just so damn excited, like, so as he should have been. Like, it was a really cool promotion, you know, like, major props for that. He's worked so hard at his job to get to where he is. And Tavinia happened to, like, stop by that day to bring me lunch, and she was like, just saw how happy Jer was about his promotion, and she kind of pulled me aside and was like, do you want to invite him out for drinks tonight to, like, go celebrate? And I was like, oh my god, yes. So we invited Jer out for drinks. It was a Wednesday. And he was stoked, so excited to go out for drinks. And so we also invited Dave, who is my age, but or is our age, but was the, working on a PhD. He still is. Actually, he's getting ready to do his Viva. So good luck, Dave, on that. But so we invited Dave out as well.
What the hell is a Viva?
Like, you're the defense of your PhD.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, yeah. So we invited the two of them out, and we started... Literally that night, we, like, dubbed ourselves Wednesday Club, and Jer started telling stories about when he lived in the States, because he moved to the States when, like, fresh out of college, just like we did to Ireland, because they have, like, the reverse visa where the Irish people can come here. So he'd lived in New York and was telling us stories about working at a saltwater taffy place.
Saltwater taffy. I can't even say it like he does, but it's so perfect.
We want Jer to come on as a guest at some point. He doesn't know this, so Jer, if you're listening, brace yourself. You'll be invited on as a guest at some point. And he has, like, this American accent that is so funny. And so he was telling us that when he worked at this saltwater taffy place, that the customers couldn't understand what he was saying because his Irish accent is so thick. And so his boss told him, like, dude, you have to put on, like, a little bit of an American accent to, like, make people understand you. So Jer, Jer has this, like, impression of, like, an American accent that he does where he's like, saltwater taffy. Like, he sounds like a, like a Southern belle, like an old Southern white woman when he says it.
But it's like you're transported because, like, you're in Ireland, you hear all these Irish accents, and then he does it, and it's like, boom, I'm in fucking Kentucky. Or, like,
oh my God,
it is somewhere, just, because yes. It's so perfect.
It is so funny. So Jer is like, and Jer actually is probably the person who I keep in touch with the most from Dave and Jer both. I talk to them, like, probably weekly or bi-weekly, like, all the time. So Jer is just like, he also is my ride or die kind of guy. Like, I will be friends with Jer until one of us kicks the bucket, because he's just, like, a fantastic, fantastic guy. Yeah, so a lot of love for Jer as well. And then Dave is a, well, it's no secret that I thought he was just the cutest thing ever. So Dave is my cute coworker from UCC. And yeah, he's also kind of a ride or die. So then we started going out. We invited them out on that Wednesday to celebrate Jer's promotion. And then we, not every Wednesday, but probably every other Wednesday or every third Wednesday, all of us would go out and get drinks together and hang out. So,
yeah. But then we started a group on WhatsApp called, I think we just called it, no, we called it the full name, Saltwater Taffy Group.
Yeah.
And we just,
yeah. Yeah, so we've got our little group chat with our guys. And they were just part of, like, the day-to-day life. Because I probably spent more time with Jer than I did with Tavinia when I lived in Ireland, just because when you're coworkers, you spend every waking moment together, so.
And I worked weird, weird hours. Which, I just want to, so, and I mentioned this earlier, towards the end of our time and that night that Maggie went out with them for the last time, my mom went too, and I didn't go. I, like, abandoned her and, like, dumped her with Maggie. And so, although she had the time of her life, and I guess just hearing from Maggie and my mom, she was like, that Jer guy, he's real nice, real down to earth. And, like, I guess Jer just, like, talked to her all night and was just, like, so nice. And, like, I don't know, that means a lot to me that I like when people are nice to my mom. And they don't have to, they don't have to, like, overly be, but they are, so.
But, yeah, Jer is just such a, and Dave, too. Dave also did his bit for making Mrs. Tucker feel comfortable, but it was definitely Jer. Jer is that guy who, like, he'll take you under his wing. What do you need? Do you need me to pay for something? Do you need some food? Like, tell you a joke. I'll break out my American accent to make you feel more comfortable. Like, he would bend over backwards to make someone feel comfortable. So he definitely did that for Tavinia's mom. And she, oh, she was so cute. I think she had fun.
No, she definitely had fun. She drank a little baby pint, not even a full pint of Guinness. Yeah. Cutie. But, I mean, so, yeah, we just talked about each person in detail, which you're welcome, and no regrets. But, honestly, like, this, I think the bigger overarching theme was, like, our international friends that we've made, and just how, I mean, listen to all the people we just talked about and how, like, fucking diverse it was, the people that we knew and, like, got to hang out with and still get to keep in contact with, and just how amazing of an experience that is, and like, for those that are thinking, like, you know, oh, well, like, I don't need the, I have all my friends here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It just makes a difference because you get to be opened up to different perspectives and different cultures, which we all fucking need, honestly. And, yeah, like, I mean, this is really small and not as a huge impact, but, like, now I know that if someone closes the kitchen door, they're probably not being an asshole. Like, they just don't want the smell to enter the entire fucking house.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So,
well, and also I think I wish that I had known how these people just would come into our lives. Like, I am now significantly less terrified to move abroad again, even, like, by myself, even without Tavinia. Like, I'm significantly less scared to do it because I know that amazing people like this will literally just kind of, like, fall into your lap with minimum effort. I mean, we just talked about, what, probably 10 people? And they all, like, we had nothing but amazing things to say about all of them. And literally, they all just, like, fell into our lap. Like, it was by no effort of our own. So hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better if you've been scared about, maybe not even moving abroad, but even just taking, like, your first solo trip or, like, booking a, like, multi-bed dorm room hostel instead of getting, like, an Airbnb to yourself. Like, take the leap and go somewhere. Like, put yourself in the path where people could meet you like that because people are awesome.
And not even that. I'm thinking about it from the selfish aspect of, like, now if I want to go somewhere, like, if I want to go to Brazil, which we are planning on doing, and that trip has already been completely planned out for us by the boys.
Yeah.
Like, there's places to stay and people to show you around. Like, that's the other amazing part to it. Is knowing that all these guys and, like, yeah, definitely come on, like, blah, blah, free, you can stay with us for free, and you can go stay with my sister in Rio, but, like, for free, and, like, oh, okay, does she know, like, yeah. I mean, thank you, but, so, yeah, just, good people.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's pretty, all we wanted to do was talk about 10,000
years,
I think all we wanted to do was talk about our friends. We just felt the need to, like, throw in a little life lesson there at the end to make you feel like you got something out of this podcast.
pretty much.
Yeah, so that's it, that's our boys and a couple of girls, but mostly the boys.
The babies.
Alrighty, well, I think this is where we leave you, friends, so we will catch you next time.
Farewell. Bye.